Listen, you can open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians 5, we'll pray, but I will read the three or so verses that we're going to look at tonight, the three verses. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we don't smirk at your word. We believe it. And help us to get this. Help us to model this. Help us to live godly lives and have godly marriages. I know, Lord, it's not a popular topic, but it's your word. It's popular among us. So help us to get on board with everything you're saying, even the tough stuff. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I just say you, please do this. Please give me a fair hearing. I've taught this in the past, and I had three ladies jump up and abruptly walk out on me. Susan, tell you, I wasn't even that. I'm not harsh. I'm not a harsh person. Now, this is the Word of God, and it's a very, very important word. Listen, I want you guys, I'm jealous of your guys' marriages. I want you to have excellent, good marriages. Why? Because it speaks of our relationship to Jesus Christ. 50% of marriages end in divorce. Now, if you're a Christian, that's slightly higher, according to the latest statistics I get hold of. Why? Because we're not doing it God's way. And two, I think we have an adversary who's deliberately trying to ruin our marriages. There's no question about it. So how are we going to divorce-proof our marriages? We talked in the past, one, forgive. If you have a short memory and you can forgive, you can. That's pretty much it. Now, how do I live a God-honoring marriage? Well, if you're a wife, and we'll deal with the husbands next week. I'm going to talk about wives, okay? That's the way it's going to roll out today. Wives, your part in this is to submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, you say, that's really hard to do. You're wrong. It's impossible to do. But remember, we started in verse 18 last week. Don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. This is what the Spirit-filled wife looks like. Now, I'm not asking you in and of your own power, you know, redouble your efforts and try to do this. No. No. You're going against the curse and the fall of mankind. You're not going to do this by getting an A in effort, okay? You're going to do this by the power of the Spirit of God. It's the only way you can. Look at the men's part in this. We're going to love our lives like Christ loved the church. We're going to do that outside the power of the Spirit of God. Don't make me laugh. Okay, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Now, the word submit there means basically to submit. Now, I will tell you this. It's not women, submit yourselves to men. It doesn't say that. There's a lot of ideas that Christianity is kind of misogynist and sexist. I believe in sexes, that there is a different and a distinction. Equal, but different. Men can't have babies. You can't legislate that. You can't wish that or hope that. There's some things that are different. And God made a difference. And I enjoy it and like the difference. And I'm not trying to be crude. I mean, I really like the way God set it up. And I'm not trying to change it. I think as we try to change it, well, look, American culture. I would read this on the Oprah show, and they would laugh me off the stage. They would just, that's all there is to it. But how many of those people have happy marriages? We don't look to the American culture for how we understand how to have happy marriages. You know, people generally now, it's okay, after we live together for a long time, and we make sure we're compatible, by the way, does that increase your chance of divorce or decrease your chance of divorce? It increases your chance of divorce. No surprise. Satan's still a liar and God's still true. So we live together for a while. We find out whether we're compatible. So finally we get married. But it's not really a marriage in any biblical sense. It's more of a coalition. You know, I have my friends, she has her friends. I have my job, she has her job. I have my hobbies, she has her hobbies. I have my divorce lawyer, she has her divorce lawyer. We never really did get off the ground. We never did really consolidate the marriage. We never did, it's just friends with benefits. And maybe she went as far as to change her last name. And that's not always even a given. Maybe she hyphenated. Maybe she kept her maiden name. And so this is what we got. And now they're holding us up and they're saying, this is the ideal. Do it this way. Honey, you've come a long way, baby. You're every bit as smart as him, and you're every bit as powerful, and you have as much potential, and you don't let him push you around, and all this stuff, and it's not working. At some point, you have to say, on a fundamental level, it's not working. And the reason I think even Christian marriage is not working is we're not doing it God's way. Now listen, this is the give and take portion of our study night. Women, what's your husband's, you don't say nothing, women, what's your husband's greatest need? What? So you do know the answer. Because like next week, I'll ask the guys, what's your wife's greatest need? And they'll say, the need to be loved, of course. I get a nod there. Okay, good. I'm on the right track. Look at what it says, the last verse in Ephesians 5. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife, see that she reverence her husband. Revere. Respect is will fit in there, sliding in nicely. Now, husbands, you're going to help your wife submit to you by being respectful, being somebody who's capable of being submitted to because you're going to live a respectful life. But I'll get you next week. I don't think it'll be so pretty with the wives. I don't yell or holler. Guys, all bets are off, okay? I'm just telling you. You're going to know it's not. Because I expect a lot out of men. I really do. Wives, all I expect out of you is this. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands under the Lord. That's the whole thing. You say, well, I got to do that. No. That's all. Don't make it any more complicated. Now, someone told me, look at that verse that word isn't even there in the original text. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands. I'm thinking like, okay, wives to your husbands. Yeah, I think it needs a verb. I think it is there. And then I looked it up and she was right. I think she was right for the wrong motives because I think she was thinking like, I don't it want it to be there. No, we're all submitting ourselves. All our spirit-filled people, right, who are filled with the Spirit, who are speaking to ourselves in hymns and psalms, spiritual songs, making melody in our heart unto the Lord, all us worshiping people who are spirit-filled, right? We're always giving thanks to all things. Verse 21, all of us spirit-filled people, we're all submitting ourselves one another in the fear of the Lord. Wives, to your husbands. Your part in this submission of verse 21 is to your husbands. And that's good, because it's to your husbands alone. Now, before you get there, you don't know my husband, and Paul doesn't either, okay? Well, what about if he's not a believer? We'll get there, okay? We'll get there. But we don't have to submit to everybody. Now, someone's going to say, well, what if he's, I don't trust men. You and me both. I'm only asking you to trust one. And then if he's not trustworthy, if he's doing something that's illegal or immoral, I'm asking you to submit to that. Neither is God. I mean, look. If he's doing something illegal, he beats you. That's against the law. We'll get the appropriate authorities involved. We'll have prison and jail ministry, and we'll straighten him out. I'm not lying. He wants me to do stuff that's not against the law, but it's immoral. He wants to download porn and have me, watch that with him or something like that. You report it to the elders of the church. We'll take care of that. Really? And we really can. Not a problem. Love to do it. I don't love to do it. Hope it never happens. It will happen, has happened, does happen. We'll take care of that. Now, beyond all that, you get it, wives? Submit yourselves to your husband. Now, a lot of women say, well, I'll submit myself to the husband when he loves me. It doesn't say that. I'll love her when she submits herself to me. It doesn't say that. Okay? That's not your out. This is the tough part. I don't know if I'm speaking to a room full of people doing this pretty much all the time anyway. Because it won't always manifest itself. I don't always see it. How can I? Especially what's going on in the privacy of your own homes. I don't know. So I have an idea because of just some of the things, some of the feedback, some of the pushback, I should say. I see a lot of women submitting when the husbands go in the direction they want to go anyway. That's not submitting. Now listen, if your husband comes to you and he says, yeah, your wardrobe's a little threadbare. Here's $500. Go buy yourself some new stuff. No, honey, I don't think I want to do that. I really feel like, we shouldn't be doing that right about now. No, I'm the husband, honey. Listen to me and submit. Take the $500. Go. Oh, okay. If you say so, I'll submit. All right. Cause I know I have to, you know, that you haven't submitted. You haven't done anything. I mean, you know, if you're married to that guy, I think I'll call up my sister and take her shopping with me. Oh, you're taking your sister? Well, listen, here's an extra $100. Take her out to lunch. You know, it's like, if you're married to that guy, he's not very hard to submit to, right? Right? Look it. Is this the only place that says this? One verse. This is, if I get around this verse and make this say something else, then I'm home free. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 18, Colossians 3:18. If you go to Ephesians, you go to Philippians, you go to Colossians. Colossians 3:18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Which is, by the way, what I've been saying. We're not talking about illegal or immoral activity. Don't stretch. Listen, he's going to buy a new automobile for you. He's going to drive the old beat around. Most, when two people have a, two vehicles, that's, you know, like Mike and Flea, you know, she drives that nice Toyota and he got that old Beetlemobile. It's got like 470,000 miles on it and fan belts, a rubber band, and, you know, and a lot of, probably duct tape is holding the carburetor on. He don't care. But I see guys like that. I say, that's really good. It's a good testimony. Now, she's driving that around and he's got the new Lexus or something like that. Doesn't speak very well of their marriage, does it? You know what I mean? You know, she's there. She got her eldest son behind the wheel. She's pushing it downhill. Pop the clutch, you know, trying to get it started. That's not so good. You know what I mean? But don't stretch out stupid or imprudent to immoral. Don't do that. Let him fail. The fact that you're submitting to him, doesn't mean that he's, doesn't ever make any mistakes. Let God deal with them. Now, let's go to 1 Peter. I think we'll be for 1 Peter. 1 Peter has most to say about this, and I think we'll kind of use this as our text, our jumping off point. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Say, well, what if my husband's not a believer? Okay, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wife. Well, I'm doing conversation, but he's not listening. No. Manner of life is conversation there. He should be saved by your lifestyle, ideally, is what it's saying. That's not a promise. It's just saying that's how you do it. Well, I like to nag him. How's that working? Listen, I asked Susan, I said, can I tell some stories about you? And she said, yes, which is the answer I was looking for. What is that saying? She's saying, I trust you. Could I tell you some stories that would embarrass her? Yes. Yes. Would I? She's trusting that I won't. I like that. I like the fact that she said that. You know, like, yeah, go ahead and tell anything. Now, let me talk to you about her nagging. I rarely, if ever, you know she doesn't, because one, she'd be dead or we'd be divorced. Those are the options. I couldn't take it. I can't take it on your behalf. I see anyone nagging, I just like, I pull my hair out. Like, what is she doing that? She's raping his ears. He's going to do the exact opposite thing. Why does she do that? Because women aren't in a power position. That's how they control the situation a lot of times. It doesn't work. It's not what God wants. Listen, if I was not a believer and my wife was the woman I'm married to now, I think I could live with that okay. She takes insane good care of me. I was, you know, talking to some guys this morning on the job site, and the guy was showing me the sandwich he made. And he was all these ingredients and stuff like that. I says, well, I have to write it down on a list and stuff and give it to my wife. And he's, why are you giving it to me? She puts my lunch up every day. No, she doesn't. I said, yeah, after 31 years of marriage, she still does. Never asked her to, not even once, and she does that. Now, that's me. Now listen, when I share like that, don't take your wife by the collar and shake her and say, listen, he does. No, stop. What works for us doesn't, we're not talking about, listen, you're the guy and you cook. Not in my house, okay? But that's fine if you do that and you like to do that and it works for you. We're not talking about stuff like that. This is it. It's my, I'm the king of my castle. I make the money, I spend the money. And when you spend the money, I tell you how, and I just go all like that. Yeah, I guess if you want to be a moron, but my thinking is like, Can I ask you a question? Do you think, anyone thinks Suze is spiritual? Does anyone think she's smart? Does anyone think she's a resource who, like, I would ask her opinion? Yes, yes, she does. I ask her opinion about stuff like, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? What do you think about this? She said, well, that's Adam. That's what I'm all about. If my husband asked my opinion, I think our marriage would be so much better. Well, I have a question for you. Why doesn't he? Because if I was always approaching my wife and I said, well, what about this woman? And she was like on me about, and every time I talk to her, I get poisoned. You moron, you don't know enough to, and you're, and she's nagging me and telling me what a loser I am and how I don't know anything and how, what a hypocrite and what. How often am I going to go to her for advice? Not so much. You know what I mean? So nagging, I think, is a really, really poor way of going about that. It's a really bad. Now, he's saying here, like your wives, okay, be in subjection to your own husbands. Okay, he's not a believer. He doesn't obey the word. You know, this is how you want to do that. This is how you want to approach that. You want to be, you want to win them by your manner of life, by your godliness. I know some guys whose wives are Christians, and they're not. And they are perfectly content to have it that way. Their wives just love them, and they think, this is pretty good. I think I'll just, you know, they don't nag them, try to get rid of them, try to get them to stop going to church. They're thinking, like, boy, I got it pretty good. And that's what it should be. Someday, God, maybe he'll open their heart. Now, you can keep your finger in 1 Peter. No, actually, I'm not even going to go back there. I'm just going to talk about it. Okay, the fall, right? There's Adam and Eve, there's God. God said, okay, at first there's only Adam and God, and not in that order. First is God, then there's Adam, right? It's not good for the man to be alone, right? Listen, you see a guy, it's not good for us to be alone. We don't do real good, okay? And God knew it, Adam knew it. So he doesn't create Eve. He manufactures her. Well, she is created, but he took her out of Adam. Body, soul, and spirit, if you ask me. In Adam was Adam and Eve for a season, and then he removed her from Adam, manufactured her. That's the word, not bara, bara, not to create from nothing, fiat creation that we believe in. He formed her, as it says in the King James. He manufactured her, and he brought her to Adam. Adam's like, sings to her. That's the bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. That's a song. She's so good looking, so incredible. That calls, instantly he composes a song right there, right then. And he's like, wow, God, this is totally good. And on they went. Now the fall comes. What happens? Some discordant, some bad mojo. She's, two things happen. One, she stepped out from under her headship and wasn't submissive to her husband. Two, he did nothing. Now, I know a lot of people teach it this way. You know, the serpent approached Eve when Adam was gone away and tempted her. Adam was gone away. Where did he go? Okay, he's got a beautiful wife. They're not wearing anything. What is he going to? Like a sales convention in Cleveland? Where would he go? You know, they're tilling the garden. You think he's not knowing what's going on? See, this is Adam's great sin. He watched the whole scenario. He did nothing. She ate the fruit and then gave it to her husband, it says. Put it on a shelf, waited till he come home. Well, he should be home any minute now. No, she ate it and gave. And I have an idea. He was standing right there. Fat, dumb, and happy, doing nothing. When he could have intervened. Now, she stepped out from under her headship. She was running the show there for a while. Didn't go so good. Now, okay. There's the fall. They're hiding themselves. I can go through all those things there. There's a lot of stuff happening. The fig leaves are very, very interesting. The coat of skins is very, very interesting. Adam, where are you, is very, very interesting. Let's cut to the chase. He pronounces a curse on the serpent, on the ground, on the woman. He says, okay, childbirth, that's bad now. Too bad. I mean, think about if they had kids already. You know, I've been like, you know, oh, I think my water just broke. Oh, here's Cain. How cool is that? You know, it's like, and she's sitting there drinking lemonade. 5 minutes later, she's back to work in the garden, you know. You know what I mean? You're going to multiply your pain in childbirth, right? He curses the ground, thorns and thistles. He curses the woman. He's going to rule over you, but your desire shall be to your husband. Now you're thinking, now your desire should be to your husband. And all the guys are thinking, well, okay, my new favorite Bible verse. This is cool. I really enjoy this. It doesn't mean that. You remember when Cain falls, right? Cain messes up. He kills Abel. God has that divine interview with him. And he says, sin's crouched at your door, but you have to master it. It's the same word. It's the same phrase, actually. Your desire, sin's trying to compel or impel or drive or motivate you is the idea. But you have to control it. He says the same thing to the woman. He's going to control you, but you're going to try to control him. Listen, ladies, what you're trying to counteract is the fall. It's part of your curse. You want to control the situation. That's just like thorns, just like man earning his bread in the sweat of his brow, just like pain in childbirth. This is nobody would argue with them. Don't argue with this either, because it's still part of the fall. It's still what God said. Your desire shall be to your husband. You want to run the show. That's the way it's going to be. Now, don't be ashamed. That's like I say. It's like thorns. Nothing to be ashamed about, right? But you have to, the spirit-filled wife says, wait a second. I'm going to try to run the show. No, that's not the way God set it up. Now, why did he set it up this way for wives to be in subjection to their husbands? Because he's so much smarter. Probably not. In the marriages I see, that's true maybe 50% of the time. And if you're like my marriage, some things I'm smarter than her in, and some things she's smarter than me in. Yeah, that's probably like most marriages I know. Raw IQ, it's a wash. Whoever's got the wind at their back. I mean, when playing Scrabble, you pick up the best letters, you win. That's how we've determined how that goes. You know what I mean? So we're about the same. She's submitted to me because I'm so much more spiritual. Not typically, okay? In all the marriages I see, women generally, this is a very big generalization. Don't no guy come up to me, get in my face later. Generally, the wife is more spiritual than the husband. Why? If Christianity is about relationships, and I submit to you it is, relationship with God, guess who does relationships better, husbands or wives, all right? So that's why women are generally more spiritual. They're more alert to spiritual things. So he's not saying submit to him because he's smarter. He's not saying submit to him because he's holier. He's saying submit to him because I said so. That's the natural order of things. Now, part of the false, you're saying, no, I can do this. I'm a college graduate. I'm capable. He can't keep me under his thumb. Well, listen, you gotta understand where that's coming from. That's coming from a bad place. That's the fall. That's not a good thing. It's something that we have to counteract. We have to, in a spirit-filled way, overcome. I know a lot of women think like, listen, my life is kind of hard, but if that big dumb ape that I sleep with would just shut up and do everything I tell him, then my life would be so much better. Listen, you want a man, and you don't want someone who's a Casper milquetoast, who's like looking to his wife for leadership. You think you might like that, but I know your husbands. None of them are like that, and you wouldn't like it. You wouldn't like it if you were in control all the time. You wouldn't like it. It just doesn't. So he's doesn't have the best ideas. He doesn't have the best motives sometimes, and God's saying, I want you to do it his way. I want you to submit to him. Or you have one of these 50-50 marriages. I vote yes, she votes no, and then we are loggerheads. What do we do now? Well, I'll tell you what happens when we do that, which I can pull out a trump card and say, no, honey, it's going to be this way. Have I done that a few times in our marriage? Not very often, really. I mean, really, I'm not. Because a lot of you guys think like, well, no. If I submit to him, I'm going to wear an I Dream of Jeannie costume. He's going to he'll want me to make him supper. He'll want me for other things, and he'll say, back to your bottle while I watch the hockey game, and that's how my life's going to go. No, my wife's very submissive, and it's not like that. Most guys, they read the book, and they say, husbands, love your wife like Christ loved the church. And my thinking is like, okay, listen, here's we're at loggerheads, right? We're going out to eat. Where do you want to go? I want steak. She goes, I want fish. Do it her way. That's easy. And if you guys don't know that, you don't know nothing. I mean, that's nothing. I mean, I'm trying to spoil her rot, and I want her to. And then, of course, like, and if you're really bright, you figure out that most places serve, you know, surf and turf, and so you're all set there. You know what I mean? But when it's like, what do you want to do today? Well, I want to go mountain biking. She goes, I want to go shopping. I'm like, shopping? Just put a drill bit to my temple and be done with it. But here's the thing is, I love her. She loves shopping. So we go shopping. Really? I tough it out. I am Ephesians chapter 5, my wife right now, fiving. I'm there. Cause you do that because that's, but you see, okay, no, where are we gonna, real life situation. We had a fallout with the first church. We came back to Maine. We had a fallout with the first church. We didn't leave it. It left us. And I shook the dust off my shoes and said, I will never darken the doors of this church again. So far, so good, right? Never done it. Too bad. Like some people died and were buried in that church and we still didn't go. I mean, never. And that was dumb, but. And so next week I'm getting up and going, get ready to go to church. And she's like, where do you think you're going? I said, I'm going to church. She goes, you said you never. I said, no, we're not going to. We're going to church down over here. And I picked the next church. And she's, well, I'm not. And you're, yes, you are. And if I have to throw you on my shoulder like a sack of potatoes and drag you there, you are. And do I do that very often? I never throw on my shoulder. Do I threaten or pull that and play that trump card very often? I'm thinking like two or three or four times. And that worked out good. We were there for 16 years. It wasn't like, because here's how it works out. If your husband's like a respectable guy, he loves Jesus, he goes by the Bible, he prays, he tries to make good decisions, it ain't so hard to submit. The problem is when he's not a believer. That's the problem. But I know a lot of your husbands, ladies, and you don't have it so hard, okay? I know some stuff, okay? And you could probably fill me in some more stuff. You don't get it as bad as a lot of women I've seen, okay? Just let me say that. Likewise, your husbands, wives be in subjection to your own husbands, that if they obey not the word, you may, without the word, be won by the conversation of wives, while they behold your chaste conversation, your chaste lifestyle, coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of hair and wearing of gold, or putting on apparel, let it be the hidden man of the heart. The hidden man of the heart, in this case, is the hidden woman of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, and, by the way, your husband, of great price. He loves that. Now, he likes the fact that you look good. That's fine. That gets hotter all the time. Women in general. I'm looking at the ceiling fan about this time, okay? I don't want to let my eyes rest on anybody. It gets hotter every year. But this product you can buy and you can do pretty good and stuff like that. And, but that's not the thing the guy wants. It really isn't. When you're a kid, you think that's very, very important. But after a while, you want a wife who's like godly, who loves the Lord, who is kind of really cool to hang around with, who's like a lot of fun to be with. It's not all about physical, not when you're like, you know, when you're a little kid. And a guy has to grow out of that. He's gonna like, after a while, he's gonna want the hidden man of the heart, the internal, meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Now, meek is the idea of like being in subjection. It doesn't mean being like a shrinking violet or something. When somebody talks to you, just turn pink and giggle and turn red, I mean, and just, you know, die of embarrassment. That's not what meek means. Remember, Jesus said that he was meek, the only autobiographical statement by a Savior in the whole New Testament. He said he was meek and lowly of heart. So meek and a quiet spirit. That's in the sight of God. It's a great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands. Okay. That's the way they did it back in the day, he's saying, and it's still the way that we do it in the kingdom. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Now, I was just thinking, Pete, you lost me. You had me, but you lost me. Godly wife. How about Ruth? Sarah? Really? You know, because you can look at Sarah's flawed character and you can say, okay, there's a couple times she really messed up. Abe, I know that baby thing with, you know, I know you're really hanging on to that, but it ain't happening. Listen, you're about 100 years old. I'm like, you know, 90. You know, listen, I got this Egyptian handmaid here. Commit adultery with her, and, you know, that'll solve all our problems. He listened to the voice of his wife. It's kind of funny to me. When she wants to send Ishmael away, and Abraham's really bummed out, God begs Abraham for not listening to the voice of his wife. And then, you know, when he says, he hearkened to the voice of his wife. So sometimes he listens to her and sometimes he doesn't. And he got it exactly backwards. He should have said, well, listen, by the way, men, commit fornication, commit sex and adultery with this one. When your wife says that, in case you're wondering, the correct answer is no, honey, no. You're the girl for me. God's going to do it this way or he's not going to do it. I trust in God and it's you and me. That's how it's going to be. There's no one in the whole world for me except you, and that's the way this is going to play out. That's the right thing to say, in case you're wondering, okay? The right answer is not, Hagar? Oh, well, if you think so, honey, wrong answer, okay? So she messed up, don't you think so? There's some visitors in her tent. And next year at this time, Sarah's going to have a child. She laughs. Like some people will laugh when they hear this whole thing. Yeah, me submitting to him. Yeah, it ain't happening. They laugh too. She laughs. Is that a good thing? When God's telling you this is going to happen and you laugh at him, not so good. Not such a good idea. Okay? So what is that all about? How come you want to be like Sarah? One, she's the mother of all the Jewish race, to basically who he's writing this letter to. But he's saying, like, look it, she obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. I like this verse, so I told Sue from now on, call me Lord. And she was appalled. I'm not calling you Lord. And I said, well, it's here in the Bible, hun. And I showed her the verse. I said, but it's just small L. You know, it's not like Lord, because she calls Jesus Lord, you know what I mean? So she ain't calling me Lord. It ain't happening. I said, no, just look at small L. It's like Master, you know? Back to the I Dream a Genie thing, right, Master? No. So I said, you know, from now on, call me Lord. So she walked around for a couple days. Yes, my Lord, small L, should say. We had a few laughs about that and stuff. Most husbands don't want to be called Lord. But she did. She called him Lord. And the idea is Master. And it was reflected her attitude towards him, her reverence toward him. She submitted to him to such a great degree. He says, listen, honey, Pharaoh, he's going to see that you're like, absolutely hot and he'll probably kill me, take you. So this will go better for me if you say, yeah, he's my brother. She's okay with that. So she does that. Listen, when your husband tries to get you to be part of another man's harem, it's time to speak up. You got elders here. You got people you can, we want you to submit. But again, there's lines that you don't want to cross, right? Sarah didn't have a church. She didn't have elders. She didn't have any recourse, really. But she trusted in God. And here he's saying that's a good thing. It's laudable. Whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Listen, you got a problem with your husband and submission. He has a good idea. One, nag, no. Two, just rebel. Say, I ain't doing that. And you better shake your head at that foolish idea. Falls right out. Probably not a good one. How about this? Pray. No, just an idea. I mean, you know, we are Christians, right? Now listen. I say, okay, this is the way it's going to be, and it's ridiculous. Has that ever happened? Yeah. 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 I got a lot of yeses there. Wait a second. that's happened. That's happened. You can imagine it happens. You can imagine it happens in all households. So what does she do? Prays. Now, her and God. She's got God on her team. How's that go for me? You think he knows how to get a message to me? You think he knows how to, like, twist my arm, funnel me into a situation where I can't make any other, like, you know. You think he does that? He really does. He did it for Abraham and Sarah. Did he keep her pure during all that? Yes, he did. She trusted him. Did God leave Sarah flapping in the breeze? No, he's better than that. He's too good. She's like, you know, imagine her prayer like, God, this guy you gave me, oh, oy vey. I try to revere him. I try to, you know, put myself in subjection to him. I even call him Lord. I do everything he says. Now look at me. I'm in Pharaoh's harem. God, can you help out? And like, you think God, that loving Heavenly Father's like, sorry, Toots, like to help, you can't do it. Really? Because I don't think so much. I think he's like all about showing up and saving the day. Did he? Well, you read the account. I want to cap this off by saying the right thing here. We want to submit. I know it's a bad word. I feel kind of weird saying it. America, like, doesn't like this idea. We're in a court case, and they asked the guy if he was a Christian. And the next question was, do you believe that a wife should submit? To which and I was like, wow. You know, trying to put some agita on the judge so he'd say, oh, I could see the way this is going. This guy's like some sort of, like, tin god at home, you know, cracking the whip, making his wife do whatever he says and stuff like this. Yeah. Is that what this is all about? No. Will it be those guys? I'm afraid so. Can God straighten them out? I think he will. I don't think he'll work through your nagging. The reason I say that, I've never seen it. You know what? Proverbs has a lot of things to say about a contentious woman. It's like continual dripping, it says. You know, like a faucet that just leaking all night long, drives you crazy. Don't do that. Just, you got an unsaved husband? Well, I'm going to put tracts in his lunch. I'm going to preach to him. I'm going to write, you know, John 3:16 and shaving cream on the mirror so he sees it every morning. And I like the old tracts in the lunch. You know, he bites into his bologna sandwich. He pulls out one of them JT chick tracts, you know, repent or burn or something like that. Not so good. No, we want to submit, and our submission looks like, basically, honey, it's your call. I started saying earlier, like, okay, you know, I vote yes, she votes no. What do we do? Well, I can just overrule, or I can do it her way. If it's not a big thing, and I'm trying to spoil her rotten, I think that's the best selection. But two, I can involve somebody else. I do that very often. See, I asked Susan, say, you know, we got this situation. This is Solomon-esque wisdom. I don't have it, and I don't. And so I say, so what do I do? And she's like, well, call Pastor Ken. Oh, all right. I get another head in there, someone who I look to, someone who, will God speak to Ken? When I, you know, see, like, my heart's right. I'm seeking wisdom. I want to do the right thing. Will he use him? Has every time it's happened so far, about 3 or 4 times. And you know, it's a funny thing too, is we have a built-in blind spot. God wants us to be part of community. I'm not the know-all, be-all. I'm not the oracle. I'm just like really, really not, and I know that too. I think I get this blind spot when it comes to me. Maybe it's just like I'm like too far-sighted, and everything's right here, and I can't. And so I ask Ken, I said, so what are you doing in this situation? He says, oh, and he gives me a verse. I'm like, duh. I knew that. I mean, how come I didn't know? Because I have to humble myself, and I have to receive that. And I think it's a good thing for us to humble ourselves and receive. And I think that's one of the things, like, when I think about, like, this whole thing about wives submitting, why does God do that? Guy's rough. Guy's rough around the edges. He's not as smart as you, maybe. He's certainly not as holy. And you got to do it his way? Why? It's God's torturing device to humble you. And I mean that sincerely, a lot of times. You're thinking, like, this ain't going to work. I'm going to, all right, I'll do it his way. It doesn't work. And, you know, were you any worse off for being godly and doing it God's way? Generally not. I mean, you know, I really think that's about it. I just want us to, you know, like I say, next week it'll be harder. Because I'm not a hot guy, especially when it comes to women. Tell your husband, I want to be submissive. I want to, when, it's not something I generally talk to about Sue's with. I mean, I really don't. If I'm reading through this book, like, devotionally, wives, oh, I'm not a wife, okay. Oh, husbands, well, okay, I'm a husband, what does that say? That's how, because it certainly doesn't say, husband, make sure your wife submits to you. It certainly doesn't say that. You went to your husband and said, how am I not submissive? How can, you can really help me in this area if you gently, and it would be very gently, tell me when I'm messing up in this area. He'd like that. Another thing, too, that why is this so important? You have to, husband needs respect. And what does that look like? It looks like you believing in him. Ah, he's a joke. He doesn't know nothing. He's an idiot. That, why don't you just castrate him and be done with it? I ain't lying. I hear women talk like that. I just think, that poor guy. You second-guess him all the time, always thinking he's wrong, always thinking he doesn't know what he's talking about, running him down. No, that can't end well. No, so respect. Okay, if he needs respect, what does that look like? Looks like believing what he's trusting in him. You know, like, again, not second-guessing. One thing guys want more than anything else is respect. You say, and guys say this all the time. Now, women don't talk in terms like that. Do it. That's your homework. Say to your husband, honey, you know the one thing I respect about you, and then fill in the blank. You got to respect something. He's a good dad. He's a good provider. He keeps his workbench in the garage neat. There's got to be something, okay? I'm sure there is something, right? Honey, what I respect about you. Now, see, I don't think you women know this. I mean, I don't think you really do. Look, guys watching the Super Bowl, it's the last 2 minutes, and it's not decided yet. His team's driving for the winning field goal or something like that. And you say, honey, you know what I respect about you? Huh? What? Well, let me turn this off. He's you got his attention. Women don't do that. They don't talk in terms like that. They don't. And if they do, I think a lot of times the guy's the last to know. And that's a little bit sad. You know, that's what he wants. I mean, that's what he needs. That's how he's wired. Here's the thing. When we were little boys, what got us through church is inevitably, invariably, it was a different scenario. With me, it was like Libyan terrorists, because that was when Muammar was out of control the first time. Oh, I was a child of the Cold War, so it was Russians. So it was some terrorist organization came and they took over the church and, because I was Catholic, so that poor priest, he can't do nothing. So I had to single-handedly, you know, disarm and tie up all the bad guys and deliver everybody, and I was the hero. Happened every Sunday. It just played itself out. The scenario changed a little bit. There were different bad guys. They were generally communists, generally Russians. Sometimes they were Libyans. Now, the problem is the Libyans never showed up. They never did. I never had to do that. I know I could. I know I'm a superhero way down deep in my heart. But they never showed up, so I didn't have a chance to prove it. Now I'm 50 years old, and I don't like to fight terrorists nearly as much as I used to when I was a little kid. It's so much, I settle for so much less. Now, boy, honey, I really appreciate the fact you work real hard. I don't have to beat up all the terrorists to be the hero now. Oh, you do? I really like the way you, I really respect the way you, is that? Oh, I could never do that. He would just, what? He'd what? He'd love it. And he needs that. I'll tell you women one more thing. Guys get mad at me. A man's ego is a very, very, very fragile thing. It really, really is. You haven't seen that. You don't know nothing about men. It's easy to shatter, and once you've done that, it's really hard to build back up. Why? I don't know. We're tough as nails in a lot of ways. Ego, not so much. I think you're a jerk, and I don't trust you, and you're just, and those words hurt more than, again, I don't know this. I don't know this personally. Later on I'm going to extrapolate. He said this. I wonder about Sue. No. Sue's Proverbs 31, as far as I'm concerned. But I've seen it in life. I've seen it, and it's been destructive. I've seen my brothers go through some stuff. I've heard stuff. I've talked to enough guys about enough things to realize that if you have a good godly marriage, you've got a lot. You've got a lot. I mean, I've seen divorce. I've seen it rip families apart. I've seen it rip guys apart. I've seen it just, no. Develop this. Work hard at this. I want, more than anything else, I want our marriages to look like godly, you know, more than any other thing. What are we selling? What are we pushing? What are we telling others about? Jesus, he comes in your life, he'll make you a new creation. He can take a prostitute, make her pure. He can take a drunk and sober him up. He can change your life. He can make you a new creation. If any man be in Christ, is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Well, I gotta go now. Where are you going? I gotta go see my divorce lawyer. I'm running late, and I gotta. Those aren't consistent messages, guys. He can make everybody new, except he can't change my life, and he can't fix my marriage. That's not consistent. That's not a good message. If life is about relationships, and I submit to you it is, what's the most important relationship? Don't say your spouse, say God. Because if I get it right, see, this is another thing, too. I keep saying this is my last point. It's my last point for another 20 minutes. You just remain calm. Listen, she loves Jesus. I love that about her. I'm not her functional God. It's very, very important. She can respect me. She can love me. She can submit to me. But I'm not her God. Okay, that takes a lot of pressure off me. Now I can just be a average old slob and just hardworking, good guy kind of guy. I don't have to be your functional God. She loves Jesus. Now that's very key, because other than that, the marriage, you know, you're not unequally yoked, I guess, if two unbelievers married. And I've seen them do pretty good. You know what I mean? That's fine, but if you want to have a godly marriage, love Jesus with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole soul, all your strength. And then, the next most important relationship is our spouse. It's not our kids. I love kids. We love our kids. We love our grandkids. Really, really do. But I knew this all the time growing up. Honey, it's going to come back one day just to me and you. And I always knew that. I always knew that that time was ticking away. I know. You knew mom. I don't want to hear that. Listen, it's real life. I just want to tell you about it. It passes. It's a 20-year span. You haven't been in a house or something. And then one day, it's going to be me and you. Now, I think some people's relationship, it's all about the kids. It's all about the kids. It's all about the kids. Well, the kids go out, they look at each other like, who are you? And then they split up. Divorce spikes after kids are out of the house. Why is that? Like, we were cool before the kids showed up. Why should we be like, because we didn't maintain that relationship. It wasn't a... We didn't work at it. Now, we'll talk about men next week. Men, they're the ones who maintain the relationship. They're the ones who work at it. They're the ones who keep the spark alive. They really have to. Women, not so much. Men, we're the leaders. And when I talk about leader, you guys are going to find out. What that means is I get the I Dream a Genie costume out. No. It means buck stops here. I have an unhappy marriage, I have an unhappy wife. That's my fault. We're supposed to love like Christ loved the church. Think about this. Was Jesus a sinner? No. Did he pay the penalty for sin? Yes. You mean he took responsibility for something that he didn't create? Yes. Welcome to your marriage. I don't care. Oh, what does love look like? Oh, you messed it up. You made the bed. Now you sleep in it. That's not very loving like Christ loved the church. No. No, Christ loved the church like you messed up. Don't worry. I'll fix it. That's what it means to be the head. It means to be the best, biggest, most wonderful servant. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. That's next week. Okay, let's pray. Our Father and our God, this is some humble, simple thoughts. I don't know why people don't like this. Lord, I think your way is perfect. I'm married to my equal, Lord. I get that. And you want me to, you know, figure it out and be the, make the tough decisions and love her like Christ loved. I understand all that. I don't see why that's a hard thing. I don't see that why that's a bad thing. And surely it doesn't make her a second class. None of our wives, Lord, are second class citizens in your kingdom. Lord, I think your blessed son is the great emancipator of women. And I'm not apologizing to anyone for that statement. Help us, Lord. We want to have good marriages. We want to do this one thing very, very well. Help us, Lord, because we can't do this in and of our... These verses, these things we talked about, they make sense. But outside the power of your Spirit, we're not going to... No one's going to submit to nobody. And we all understand that, Lord. So help us. Fill us with your Spirit. Continue, Lord. Help us to be the men, the women you've called us to be. In Jesus' name. Amen.